This is a HeadGum Podcast.
We're taking a little bit of a break from the Transformers. We'll get to the last night next week. But right now we're celebrating July 4th as Americanly as possible by talking about Encino Man. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Like I said up top, we're talking about Encino Man. And this is a film from a grand decade known as the 1990s, specifically 1992, directed by Les Mayfield. Now, to give you an idea, by the way, this character, Les Mayfield, a couple of films he's directed here.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of Christmas, the Miracle on 34th Street remake.
Ooh.
Flubber remake.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wait, this guy went on to bigger things than this.
Blue Streak with Martin Lawrence. American Outlaws with Colin Farrell. Nobody remembers that one.
Oh, I kind
of
do.
The Man. You remember that? The movie where Eugene Levy's scared of Samuel L. Jackson because he's black?
Oh, right.
And then Codename the Cleaner.
I mean, like, yeah, this movie was kind of, Encino Man was kind of a hit.
It was a big movie. It was a big, by the way, it came out in like late May, so it counts for a modern summer release. Some people got on our case about other movies we've done in the past that weren't considered blockbusters.
Yeah, but I've been saying this for years, though.
It's a podcast.
It's just, it's a podcast. But like, this is, the summer blockbuster extravaganza is just another excuse for us to talk about things we want to talk about. When a movie came out.
I want to thank you, Mr. Jupin, for coming in, and thank you for your candor. In July 4th of 2017, it seems like during a summer blockbuster spectacular, you took a week off of doing Transformers movies, which we all know to be blockbusters in the summer, to do a Councilman Encino Man. Is this correct?
Yes, that's right. I tend to believe that a blockbuster is in an eye of the beholder.
But you have the rest of the year to do shitty movies nobody cares about. We ask 8 weeks from you every year to do movies that people have seen in the summer that made a lot of money. Grenade!
Oh my goodness, that took a dark turn. Everyone's dead. There's people with limbs missing.
Exactly.
But also, we are taking a week off because we were in Portland last week. We couldn't get to see The Last Night and turn an episode around. That will be next week. We will finish the summer blockbuster extravaganza with a Knight's Tale of whatever horse shit is going on in that movie.
Well, there's also, though, that's the problem. There's not enough Transformers movies.
Mm-hmm. Right, and by the way, we're not doing the 1980s one.
Asking about that. That movie is, it's just a boring, long cartoon.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it eventually. For sweeps.
But after The Last Night, though, we have
a couple other things
one or two little things coming out that you're going to want to stay tuned for, including one thing that's been massively requested for years. But until then, Encino Man. This is a movie I've seen, sadly, like 100 times.
I just say, apparently in old Europe, that's what I've been reading, this was known as California Man.
Yeah, that checks out.
Because nobody knew what Encino meant.
I never knew what fucking Encino meant.
I didn't either,
I was like, is that a period from when Rockmen and dinosaurs lived?
Oh, you weren't aware of Encino, California?
No, really? I really do. I saw this in theaters. So I was like, Encino, that must be something about, I don't know, like the Encino period.
Yeah, exactly.
The Catholic school system failed me.
What a shock.
Wait, they didn't teach you any of that, right?
No.
Like dinosaurs are forbidden, didn't exist.
No, dinosaurs were on the Ark, dude. Didn't you know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they were in the back.
Jesus rode them and fed them hay?
Yes, he saved all the Dinobots, as we saw last week.
Oh,
and then
right.
he slapped their ass, and he wrote him right into Revelation.
Man, if you're a creationist, please stop listening to this podcast.
You're fine.
And when Jesus slapped Christ. The ass of that dinosaur, like you could hear like a little whistle sound because it's the air going through the spike in his hand.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, man. Jesus is whistling palms.
You can hear him coming from 3 days away.
Oh, man, that guy just waves his hand and cabs stop. They're like, whoa.
Totally.
My ears hurt.
It's probably actually pretty easy to find Jesus at a concert when you're like looking for seats. It's like, where's Jesus? Oh, he's waving over there. Oh, hi, Jesus. Jesus got good seats for us.
Well, Jesus whistling hands Christ.
They talked about that at school, right?
Yes. And if I could whistle, I would participate in this.
And Peter heard his whistling palms and go, knew he'd returned from the dead.
Go home tonight and slab some nails through your hands.
Oh, that's it.
And then when you just wave your hand, it just goes...
That's science.
Well, I mean, that's about as much science as there is in Encino Man,
dude,
right?
This movie doesn't know how ice works.
This movie does not know how ice works. This movie does not know. I would love to sit down with a cultural anthropologist and sit down and watch Encino Man and watch a white Brendan Fraser come out of the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, okay, all right.
This movie doesn't know the science behind swimming pool technology.
Nope.
But before we get into any of that, you know what's kind of refreshing to see? Because it's not around much anymore, I don't think at all. You just get them on these old home video releases. The old Hollywood Pictures logo,
oh,
man.
Yeah,
getting that Sphinx.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how cool was that? And then you're like, oh, fuck, I'm watching Encino Man.
I like this movie, man.
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean it's stupid for babies and it's bad, but it's a beautiful era of 1992.
And you know what, though? Here's why I think this movie... I think for me, I mean, I guess it's kind of like a light WLM, but it would be infinitely better if this movie did not contain Sean Astin.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's fucking awful. And yeah. Can we stop talking about how Rudy's a good movie? And I don't want to hear it about the Goonies.
He's a very big part of those LOTR movies, especially the last one. He's crying all over the place.
Yeah, just because you're in something for a long time doesn't mean you're good in it.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's just, you know, a fat boy blubbering, and that's just what he does in all of his movies. That's
pretty much it.
Including this movie, except in this movie, he's also attempting to talk Pauly Shore-ese, yeah. Which I cannot stomach.
That's a problem.
There are certain people I can handle saying munching on some grindage, like the dad and son-in-law, sure.
I feel like, what's his face? Stephen Baldwin does a pretty good job.
Oh, really?
Yep. In Biodome.
Oh, Biodome. Don't.
Which I would argue is the bigger Pauly Shore movie.
The box office receipts say no.
But as far as like cult classic status, you get a lot more people talking about Biodome still than you do talking about Encino
that's
Man.
That's true. Might have played on TV more.
Okay.
Maybe that's the thing.
What's everybody's top Shore movie?
This
is a Pauly Shore movie through and through.
It is. It's a secret Pauly Shore movie though because Son-in-Law, I was looking through his entire IMDb watching this movie.
That didn't take long.
Yeah. But Son-in-Law in whatever, like 94, that's the first like it's a Pauly Shore movie.
Yes.
This is, it's a Brendan Fraser, Sean Astin movie, and you've got this guy, Pauly Shore, in his first like major supporting role.
Yes.
But I would say, just by sheer nature of the one I've seen the most, I would say Son-in-Law is my top Pauly Shore movie.
Wow. I kind of agree, and I told Pauly Shore himself that I liked that movie.
Oh, really? What did he say?
He was like, okay.
Moving on, buddy.
Yeah. Had to talk to him for work once, that's all.
I love in Son-in-Law at the end when it's like Tiffany Amber Thiessen's car for some reason, and that fat guy drives it, and like they crack the case because the guy forgot to move his seat back. She's like fucking 3 feet tall. Of course, fat guy, you got to move the seat back.
I think about that like kind of almost every time I adjust a car.
Yeah.
Because
that's the smoking gun.
It is. It's kind of great. And it's Pauly Shore conducting a parlor scene, which you don't really. And he's got something where he's like, I don't know, somebody awful big must have been driving. And he like points to the obese man. It's awesome.
No, it is. And it's like his masterpiece. Although I will say I kind of enjoyed it at the time and everyone's going to be aghast. But Jury Duty?
Oh, wow.
You see that movie?
Oh, I've seen Jury Duty.
Isn't Stanley Tucci in that? Did I make that up? Maybe.
Maybe you're thinking of Tia Carrere, who's definitely in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I
don't know if the
Tooch
is in it. I think, because the conceit of that movie is he enjoys, like, room service in the hotel. So he,
right,
like,
and he doesn't have, like, a job. So,
so he
like
works to extend the court case because they're all sequestered. Is that the idea?
Yep.
A Jury Duty, I think I've seen the least. There's also the one you'll forget a ton, which is In the Army
That's
Now.
That's the one I've never seen, actually.
You've never seen In the Army Now?
I've never seen
him
it.
And Andy Dick?
It's terrible.
Yeah, and you know why? The second part of that sentence.
Oh, sure.
Tank Girl, too.
Yeah, that's right. He is technically in Tank Girl.
No, no, she's in that movie, I think.
Or who? Wait.
Laurie Petty.
Yeah, oh, she's in the Army now. Is he in? He might be
No. I don't know. I think I'm wrong now. Now I'm just mixing up those two movies. But yes, Laurie Petty
is definitely in
the titular
Army
tank
now.
Girl.
Stanley
is also
Tucci is in Jury Duty.
Oh, man. And Brian Doyle Murray. Like, Abe Vigoda. Charles Napier. Love that Charles Napier. My God, I'm gonna have to go home and watch this.
Wow, the stars were out for Jury Duty.
Original title: 12 Angry Weasels.
No, dude, I saw your eyes light up when you thought of that joke right before you said it. It's pretty great.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, so we start off in the fake caveman era. I don't even know
the Weaselzoic period.
Yes, and Brendan Fraser's trying to make a fire. And then, like, he just goes, whoops, it's the Ice Age. And that's kind of what happened.
And it's so badly constructed. Like, they're just doing Star Trek shaky cam. Yeah. And he, like, reaches his hand out to, like, the cave woman.
Uh-huh.
And he just starts screaming. And then, like, a bunch of shaved ice falls on him.
An ice lion voiced by Dennis Leary comes out. And a little squirrel.
There's a woolly mammoth named Ray Romano.
Oh, my God. What a bore.
Oh, man. Are we extinct yet or what?
Dude, there's like five of those movies.
Really? I thought we were extinct like four movies ago.
Eventually, I think like Queen Latifah gets involved in that franchise.
I think Ray Romano is going up for an Oscar in this Big Sick movie. He looks like he's got some good lines in that movie.
He's very good. That's an excellent movie.
I'm sure.
And Ray Romano's really good in it. Holly Hunter's. I mean, everybody's good. It's a great, great movie. But that is one of those things where you're like, oh, Ray Romano's a good actor. And then anyone who's ever watched that Parenthood show goes, oh, well, he's fucking great in Parenthood, you idiot. And I'm like, well, I didn't watch it.
And then there's like men of a certain age where it's like, oh, man, remember the 60s? And
oh,
like,
yeah,
no, I don't.
Andre Brower's on that show.
Mm-hmm. And the least captain of them all, Scott Bakula.
Oh, man.
He's like the hot one.
He's the hot one. Haven't you seen him?
I mean, just look at him.
Fucking one to beam up, Captain.
So we cut to 1992, and Sean Astin wakes up, and like the way we know it's 1992 is like a slushy falls on him.
Yep, a slushy falls on him because there's an earthquake. Another bad earthquake effect for this sequence. It's just we're doing Star Trek shaky cam, and Sean Astin sits up in bed, and you can see him. He's just kicking his feet under the covers, pretending that the room is shaking. And then a slushy falls on him.
He wants to talk about popularity. Stop trying to be morbidly obese, Sean Astin. Later in the movie, he's walking around. He goes to school. Uh-huh. And he's like hitting on Robin Sweeney, the prom queen or whatever. And he's got a big bag of walking Doritos.
Two massive Dorito product placements in this movie. And that's the first one. His travel size bag.
He's riding with Pauly Shore on a motorcycle eating Doritos as he's going to school.
You cannot have a walking bag of Doritos.
Especially
absolutely not.
The morning? Dude, that's breakfast Doritos.
Mm-hmm. You can honestly try your best never to be seen with food in public.
That's a great move.
That's what I try.
Especially if you're trying to impress the opposite sex or whoever you happen to be into. Like,
mm-hmm. Sure.
You don't be walking around with Dorito. Oh, you're not like wiping Dorito dust off your face like, hey, got a date to the prom?
That's a filthy chip. That's a chip that leaves evidence.
Let me tell you, I was eating some Doritos earlier today, as a matter of fact, the spicy chili or the sweet chili or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
That delicious purple bag, dude. Oh, and I was getting dust everywhere.
Love the perps.
But thank God I was home on my couch watching Unsolved Mysteries. I wasn't out in public going to school at 8 o'clock in the morning.
The murderer left a yellow tangy chip dust all over the doorknob.
This episode's getting good, Stack.
But so
that's how they caught the Watergate guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they put tape on the door to get back in the office, and it was covered in Dorito dust.
This episode I was watching while consuming Doritos is actually pretty great because it was the first case was about how someone sent a pipe bomb to Pat Robertson, and I was like, swinging a miss, bomber. Mercy.
Pauly Shore shows up. The audience applauds like Kramer is there. Yeah. He's like, yeah, Pauly Shore. He's like, oh, thank God I thought we were going to be stuck with Sean Astin for an hour and a half.
And here's another thing, Sean Astin. If you want to be popular, how about not getting disgustingly sweaty before school because you're digging a hole in your backyard to make a homemade pool.
Yeah, we got to talk about this.
This is the biggest stupid fuck thing in this movie.
It's so dumb. And why do the parents allow this? And by the way, great father in this movie, I'll say it.
The
guy who played the father in License to Drive, and
he's played a lot of dads. Richard Mazur.
Anyone who's in the thing, Lifetime Pass.
Oh, love that guy. Whenever I see him, my face lights up. But okay, so he's digging this pool.
Here's the thing:
you can't just dig a pool.
High school is over. It is June 1st or whatever. Yeah, we're like weeks away from prom at this point. Like, he's trying to make this last ditch effort of popularity. Forget about it. Plan college. That's the move.
Exactly. You just got to be looking ahead, man.
He was talking about like having like, oh, you know, and this is going to change everything. I'm going to become the prom queen. I mean, king. And
I'll be the queen of summer.
I didn't mean that in any weird way. It was just a slip. But he's like, oh, I'm going to have this huge party back here in my dirt pool, and everyone's going to have fun.
Like, everyone hates you. Everyone hates you.
People hate mud. People like mud.
People, it turns out, dislike mud. People presumably also like Pauly Shore, your best friend, whose name is Stoney in this movie. That's very funny. So all of these things combined, guess what? They're not going to want to come to your house after prom for anything.
Especially when your parents are home and you have a dirt pool. Like, A, somebody's parents are out of town and they have a real pool. Guess what? I could fucking smoke weed and kind of hang out in a pool and fuck somewhere.
Yeah, and not get fucking scabies or whatever the hell you would get swimming in a mud hole. Welcome to Sean Astin's mud hole.
Swim in the mud hole, buddy.
And you see it at the end.
When he wins, in quotation marks.
But it's still just a mud hole. It's not like a finished pool.
No, it's disgusting. You can't do that. You can't do that.
No, you're not allowed to do that. No.
Pauly Shore is there.
Wearing a mesh shirt, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bold choices by Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore is the character. Well, also, the thing is, it's a Bobcat Goldthwait situation, number one. That's not how Pauly Shore talks. You know what I mean? That was his character.
Well, wait a second.
Kind of. Oh, really?
I thought it was always about like a character, like a unique caricature.
Oh, he is a unique character.
Okay.
Hollywood royalty, some would say.
And also, like, you know, don't forget that he's always, especially in this movie where he's supposed to be in high school, 10 to 15 years older than what he's playing.
Well, sure.
Well, because even like in Son-in-Law, they kind of make it work because he's like the RA. And it's like, oh, I've been here for years, buddy. But this is like, Stoney's in high school. Stoney is a high school senior. You can only get left back so many times. And then like, when you're 18, you're legally allowed to drop out of high school. Mm-hmm. So, like,
then it's just fucking GED class. You're
good to exactly go. Right. You're working at the wherever the fuck during the day. And
the wherever the fuck.
Yeah.
Oh,
come on down to the wherever the fuck.
I did a year there, yeah.
You can fuck me in the wherever the fuck, buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Mother, we were at the whatever the fuck yesterday. That lady was rude to me.
Left
I got
her a
rude
bad
service
tip.
At the whatever the fuck.
Here's a tip for you, lady. How about nicer service at wherever the fuck? Or you can go work wherever the fuck else.
Oh, the biggest competitor. They're across the street.
Wherever the fuck else.
Mm-hmm. So right away, you get some Pauly Shore slangage going on. One is not so outrageous, which is, of course, him just saying major babe constantly.
Sure.
But then you've also got crusty. Oh, yeah. He's crusty. And then, of course, the one that I still kind of don't know what it means, grease in the do-back. What is grease in the do-back?
I'll tell you. Okay, so a do-back is one of those large, like, lizard fat creatures in Star Wars
that I know.
Stormtroopers sometimes wear.
Yeah.
Ride.
Yeah.
So grease in the do-back is one of the stormtroopers, like, has to, like, clean it, you know? Because it's all about regulation and looking sharp. So you got to, like, wash the do-back.
So is greasing the do-back and Pauly Shore's, like, doing chores?
Yep.
Oh, you're making this up.
Chores for the Empire, man. They pile up like nobody's business.
Lord Vader, I saw the do-backs on Tatooine and they were excessively dry.
Who's that?
That's Palpatine, sort of.
And now you burn. Burn for the do-back dryness.
Yeah, Palpatine likes his wet do-back.
So they get to school.
He does have a good line here, Pauly Shore, is kind of centers you, is because like Sean asks, like, oh man, we're gonna be the kings of school, and he's like, face it, we're losers.
Yeah, Pauly Shore, and I'll say this right now because it's going to be exemplified throughout this entire conversation. Pauly Shore is hands down, Stoney is hands down the most intelligent character in this film.
Yes.
Oh, big time.
Both in emotional intelligence and just regular degular intelligence.
Absolutely. Coming from a guy who said degular.
Just regular degular.
Degular.
The word is schmegular. It's pronounced schmegular.
Oh, no, schmegular.
Oh, no, I didn't shower after sex. I'm covered in schmegular. Gross.
Here's Michael. What is grindage? Grindage is food. It's food. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like, you know, sex. Grindage is
munching on grindage.
Munching on grindage, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it depends. I don't know. Maybe it could be. Depends on what you're eating.
That's true.
Yeah, you munch on some grindage. And also, I believe wheezing the juice is like taking advantage of
a situation. You're wheezing the juice.
You wheeze the juice,
or it's not specifically referring to that slushy juice.
No, not specifically slushy juice, because at one point, because I think it's when he's eating dinner at their house and he's talking to the dad and he's like, you know, I can understand you're upset by my wheezing your juice or whatever it is. And it's basically him saying, like, I'm taking your food all the time.
Here's my question, though.
Why this DVD didn't have a Pauly Shore subtitle track on it?
How would you spell wheeze, as in wheeze the juice?
W-H-E-E-Z-E?
I don't know.
I think so. I think there's definitely an H involved.
I've seen it spelled a couple of different ways on the internet.
Oh, on the internet?
Yeah. I've seen W in the IMDb quotes. It's W-E-E-Z-I-N-G. But then in another one, it's W-E-A-S-I-N-G, like weasel.
I think, because he's the weasel.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like, it's kind of merging. It's kind of a merge, merge job.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Merge job. You can get those at the wherever the fuck.
So it's kind of like, it's like a Pauly Shore portmanteau, is it you're saying, the wheezing?
Yeah, it's related to his character, yeah.
Fair enough. So when we get to high school, we pull up on Pauly Shore's scooter, that bag of Doritos. Like, I think it's a thing where he's like, I don't know, buddy, this seat, this only seats two, that Dorito bag makes three.
And we're trying to attract anybody, Doritos aren't going to do it.
At least do Cool Ranch. And so the lady in question is played by Megan Ward, I think her name is. She's also the love interest from PCU.
Yes.
And there's a fucking horrendous line here where, like, Sean Astin is basically saying, like, man, I could have got with her when we were younger because she was, like, ugly or whatever.
Sure.
And Pauly Shore says, well, that's because she hadn't hit babehood yet. Oh, ew, Stoney hadn't hit babehood.
Mm-hmm. And he is fucking, Sean Astin is browbeating this girl into liking him. Like, any chance.
This
like,
is disgusting.
He's just like assaulting her on. He's like, hey, not assault's a rough word, but he's like, hey, you want to come to prom with me? Let me move these Doritos out of the way. Hey, you want to come to prom? You want to hang out after school? He's like, I have a boyfriend and I don't like you. Also, you said I was ugly once, so fuck you.
Well, you know. Maybe she was, but they were childhood friends, and he's just doing that pathetic thing. You know, he's just like, you know, I don't know. He doesn't got a shot.
He doesn't have a shot at all.
He's it just hadn't like, been, he's the loser friend.
It hadn't been invented yet, but it had it been,
this
character would have used the expression friend zone.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Big time.
Of course. That's what I was getting at.
Big time. Also, so we don't forget it later, and we're talking about his creepiness towards this girl. There's the part at the end of the movie where he goes like, hey, remember this? And holds up a picture of two little kids naked in a bathtub. Nothing says blow me in the back of your car like a picture of, remember that time we were naked?
Yeah, when your mom bathed my genitals.
He said we've been naked together before. And
we've been naked together before. That's what it is.
Good God, man. Good
what a
God.
Fucking idiot.
Robin Tunney in this movie.
Robin Tunney in this movie. Love Robin Tunney. I don't know. She's like the friend character.
She has one of my favorite lines in the movie, which is when the guy from The Burbs is teaching them about...
Yes. Oh, right.
Rick Ducamon.
All right. Ducamon what?
Rick Ducamon. I don't know, something like that. But he is the guy from The Burbs.
He's also in Groundhog Day.
I love him and stuff. That's why I looked him up after this. And he was the announcer for Thick of the Night, Alan Thicke.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not that.
Wow.
He was brought down from Canada, wherever the fuck, to do Thick of the Night.
Yeah.
And then that went nowhere.
So he was the man who was the announcer for Thick of the Night. That's right, Stephen. I'm cheating on you with other character actors.
That's right. Welcome back to the Ducumon Files. I too was in Groundhog Day.
He's now starring in The Grave.
Oh, is that guy dead?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He passed away?
I think like 2015.
Oh, damn. That stinks. I just rewatched The Burbs recently. That's a fucking great movie.
I haven't seen it in a really long time.
Yeah, it totally holds up.
With that guy that looks like Jeff Sessions?
Yes.
His name is Bruce Dern.
Oh, no, the other guy, the little weaselly guy.
They all look like Jeff Sessions. Oh, wait, Henry Gibson?
Yeah, I think
he was
so.
In Blues Brothers?
Yes, exactly.
And the Nazi crashes. And Blues Brothers.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, he
does.
You're right.
But this teacher is teaching them about, like, cavemen. Again, like, we're in June in fucking high school. We are all checked out.
Checking right out. Senioritis in like stage 4.
And he shows them what a caveman looks like, Cro-Magnon man. And Robin Tunney's like, he looks dope. I'd date him. It's like this really like awesome delivery.
And so Megan Ward's boyfriend in this movie is a DeLuise offspring.
He's Michael DeLuise, the youngest of the
DeLuise.
From Dom DeLuise.
Really? He's from that nut?
Of the, yeah.
He that was nutsack? Wait, is he his son?
He's his son, yeah. Him and Holy Peter DeLuise shit. From 21 Jump Street. And I believe Michael DeLuise Holy is in the later shit. Episodes of 21 Jump Street.
Michael DeLuise was also on Gilmore Girls.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. He's like a better looking version of Sean Astin. So like I could totally see like this girl be like, why would I be with you, dude? This guy looks a little bit better than you.
Yeah.
He's not currently eating Doritos in class.
No, that's just his father.
And plus, he's got Dom DeLuise as a dad. That guy's so much fun.
Oh my God. Dom DeLuise was so much fun.
But, it must have been annoying, like, going to their house for dinner, though. Because, like, Dom DeLuise might have been, like, on the whole time. Uh-huh, and, no one else could talk at the
bunch
table.
Bunch of Burt Reynolds stories.
Yeah.
Sign me up, man.
But then, like, you can't talk, though. It's like you're going to go to a place and just listen,
I'm
which
there
is
to
fine,
learn, man.
But
there
it's,
to learn.
You know, like, if he really gets going and it's like that.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That you get, classic well, Dom DeLuise laugh.
You have to make him do a Dom DeLuise laugh. That is your final feather in the cap.
That's how you know you're like in you're in the DeLuise circle.
Can I be as funny as Johnny?
Dom DeLuise is going to invite me to his couch.
if he does, dude, watch out.
He's got arms like an octopus.
Dom DeLuise has been dead for years.
I know,
but he would have assaulted you on a couch.
So we kind of, while this is happening, the Encino Man, the titular Encino Man, it's just a kind of a regular day at school. They go back and then they dig up the Encino Man.
Right. Because he continues work on this mud hole.
Mm-hmm, and he finds this big, icy body and he also finds a bowl. By the way, that bowl is your retirement plan.
Yep.
You take that bowl to any fucking museum. That's a couple mil.
Also, those bones are pretty good too. Because, by the way, when they thaw this thing out, that would just be a bunch of hamburger meat.
Of course. That's not how anything works.
No.
It's not how science works. It's not like Jurassic Park. It's not in amber.
I mean, that's why Captain America is realistic. Because the only way he survives frozen is because he's a super soldier.
Mm-hmm,
if he was just a regular schmegular dude.
Dude, fucking hamburger meat.
Totally. Grill that up.
This is a great idea. You make Encino Man 2 because Encino, as we know, only refers to the town in which the movie takes place. It's two kids now, two millennials, digging up a pool. But, it's the Red Skull.
Oh, shit.
And that's how you introduce him back. It's a secret MCU movie.
Wait, that would be the great. Red Skull, where we last left him, was being, like, zapped away by that cube.
Yeah, the Infinity Cube.
And that's going to take him to Encino?
Well, no, I think he also, is frozen.
He's
frozen.
Oh, you know what? I'm into it. I don't care. Fucking make a plot hole. I don't give a shit.
I have to go back to high school.
Red Skull should be in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, name is Chad Hydra.
Chad Hydra.
He's got, like, a blonde wing. Oh, how do you use the smartphone? Oh, no, how am I using Snapchat.
His face still looks like Chinese spare ribs.
Exactly.
He's just got a blonde wig on.
But he's so cool.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
He's so hot.
So they dig him up, and then we're kind of mixing some stuff up here because they leave this block of ice and go to school a second time, yes. I think is the idea. Mm-hmm. And then, like...
They have, like, space heaters on it to, like, defrost it.
Right, but this is what's so stupid is, like, this fucking thing is just, like... I mean, I understand we're talking about Encino Man.
Sure, a Pauly Shore movie.
This thing is, like, 10... Like, this hole that he's dug is only, like, 10 feet deep. You're not having this, like, totally frozen... I mean, it doesn't matter, but Jesus...
All the earthquakes, buddy. They've been wrestling it up.
Oh, you think it's just been getting pushed up by a tectonic plate? Exactly. Like, is the idea? Oh, shit.
That's shoot right up. And you know what, happens. Dude? I'd be so mad if my kid dug up a caveman and didn't tell me. Like, this is money, my friend.
Yeah. Yep. This sell is that money. Thing to a zoo.
Exactly.
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 Well, they keep saying, Sean Astin, like any movie like this, it's like, oh, no, they're gonna dissect him. Like, they're not going to dissect him.
And even if they did, who cares?
He doesn't have a soul.
Yes. Yeah, he's a caveman. He was invented before Jesus.
Before the whistle palms came down to bless mankind.
Like, if you fucking went up to that caveman and you were like, like, he wouldn't know what you were talking about.
He would not have any idea.
It's a fucking animal.
But we all know, because we've gone to church, what the whistle palm is.
So he winds up going around the house and, you know, he's like, he's surprised by a garbage truck. There's a legit Sideshow Bob rake gag.
Wait, absolutely there
question,
is.
Does the garbage truck make an elephant noise?
It makes a lot. I believe it's a lion noise.
Same thing to me.
There's a lot of non-diegetic sound that's happening in this movie. There's some boings and so on.
Oh,
and so
really? Yeah. I missed the boner boings.
I don't know. If
I thought those were diegetic because when
everyone's getting boners in this movie.
When I get a boner, it does that noise.
What's that, a South Park gag where it's like when someone gets an erection, like there's a little bell ringing sound?
Oh, that's something.
I think it's like Butters has that happen to him, or I don't know. Who cares? It's fucking South Park.
Yeah, you're fine.
But yeah.
he winds up watching TV and like kind of learns how to dance a little bit.
Oh, he learns how to dance a lot bit.
He just turns on the TV and it happens to be at that iconic moment of the Terminator saying,
yes.
I'll be back in the middle of the afternoon. I don't think so.
I mean, I guess they have premium cable, by the way. Not
they
bad.
Must have. Hey, this is 1992. Bad. We weren't doing like TV broadcasts like that in the middle of the day. I TNT wasn't slumming it like that yet. It
smells like HBO to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's pretty great. What the fuck do you need to dig your own pool
exactly.
for when you got HBO?
I was about to say the same thing.
Also, if you're this dad and you've got this money, you're like, look, I don't want you digging up my backyard, fucking up my property value.
Exactly.
This is my goddamn house.
Why I don't.
I was in the thing, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess maybe it's supposed to be a thing where like they're so caught up with their careers that
that's
they
very
don't
true.
Notice because there's definitely a part when they find the frozen cube of the caveman where they go up to the window and they're screaming like, oh, we found this caveman or whatever. And the mom like closes the blinds. She's like, oh, I'm on the phone
with
or
a
whatever.
Client or whatever else.
So I guess that's how we explain that
sure.
away. But I mean, let me tell you something right now. If my dad looked out the window when I was a senior in high school, I mean, today, if I was doing this, and I'm just digging this huge hole in his lawn, mm-hmm. Oh, you better believe he'd be coming after me.
I'll tell you what, the only time I ever dug a hole in my yard was to bury a dog.
There you go.
That's the only thing your parents will condone.
And you know what, though? The fucking crazy part was it wasn't your dog. It was a dog that trespassed.
Yeah, good sunned it.
Oh, man.
It was my dog, and it's dead.
What if this is in a sleepy Maine town? It was Stephen King's Encino Man.
Oh,
and not
shit.
Only is he a caveman, but he's got like some old, he's got some old Cthulhu curse on him.
Like Cujo Man.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. That'd be great. That would also mean that Dee Wallace would be in this movie. Mm-hmm. Better casting.
Yeah, absolutely. Get some Denise Crosby. So like the boys come home and they find their caveman and they scream a bunch.
There is so much screaming in this movie.
Like, whoa!
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's fun. and, you know, they subdue him with fire, and immediately, we're only 28 minutes in, I'm Too Sexy montage.
Yes. Oh, man. And I was so funny because I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, can you believe there's an I'm Too Sexy montage in this movie? And my wife was like, Yeah. It was 1992 and it's a shitty comedy. Of course I can.
This is a whole other podcast. This is something for another day, but I would love to know what the Patient Zero is.
What was the first
movie to do that?
Interesting.
This might be it. This is early. This is an early candidate.
This or like Pretty Woman?
What was I'm Too Sexy playing a Pretty Woman?
Fucking changing montage, didn't they? When they scrubbed her up, she was like a cave woman.
She was a street cave woman. That was the idea here.
So they start pouring chemicals on this dude, like, and because it's like, oh man, he's so crusty, but like that dude would be dead. He would be dead anyway. He would just breathe our air and just be dead.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Like he gets all these diseases.
Pauly Shore would exhale a bunch of weed in his face and that caveman would fall down dead.
Or would he get stronger? Oh man.
Can you imagine? Actually, that's something. Mm. How is there no smoking reefer in this movie? Like at all?
It's just implied. His name is Pauly Shore's name is Stoney.
I think that's kind of what it is. It's like that classic, I'm trying to think about it. Like it's like, you know he's always stoned, but we never get to see it because it's a kid movie. Yeah.
Right.
Are you looking up the Right Said Fred thing?
I am, yes. Okay. Right. Yeah, no, because now you got me curious what this fucking Patient Zero is of this.
Oh, it's something called, it's a German movie.
Oh, yeah.
Called Manta der Film. And then it's in actually a lot of... the first American film is Encino Man.
My God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So this movie is incredibly important to
it's very important. This cultural and everything. Film.
Yes. Wow, but look at this, though. Look at it take off from there, though. Episode of Baywatch. Episode of Melrose Place.
It's gone airborne.
Grumpy Old Men. Blank check.
Grumpy Old Men.
I don't know. Also, our Richard fucking Duback there, whatever his name is, he's the limo driver in Blank Check.
Hey, Jack Lemmon, I need to get a hat for my date with Anne Margaret.
I'm too sexy for my hat.
We're talking Beverly Hills Ninja, the That Darn Cat remake, episode of EastEnders, episode of The West Wing.
Hey, Jack Lemmon, you're not going to date Anne Margaret in those pants, are you?
I told you, you can't borrow my hat, all right?
How is my father still alive?
Those movies are fucking terrible.
Hey, Burgess Meredith, you're not going to get buried in that suit, are you?
Oh, I'm going to fuck all the women in the grocery store, you bum.
There was a period of my life, and I mean like a solid year and a half, when I would used to go to sleep to two movies. That was the thing to do.
Oh, sure.
I would always go to sleep to Grumpy Old Men because that movie is so relaxing. Mm-hmm. It's like ice fishing. The movie is ice fishing.
That's true.
And, but you just have the incessant bantering of Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Is it just the sequel that has Sophia Loren?
I believe so. The first one's Anne Margaret.
That's the summer one. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's the summer one. The first one's the winter one.
Both Kevin Pollak?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, because Kevin Pollak is one of their sons.
And then Daryl Hannah's the daughter.
Oh, yes. Oh, wait,
and then they get together. And it's a mystical universe where Kevin Pollak dates Daryl Hannah.
Right.
How is my son so short?
Was Walter Matthau a tall man?
I don't know. I feel like he's a pretty handsome old man.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
never mind.
So they bathe him in like scope and like fucking Murphy's oil soap and God knows whatever
brush
else.
His teeth, and it's like those things would be like rotten little fangs. Like half of would be at least they'd be all gone.
And who's washing this dude's bunghole? That's my question. Because that's where it's all living, right?
Like it's all
the taint that's and where it's living
and the bunghole. Exactly. That's where the thing is. It's going to crawl out of his body and fucking...
Now I'm just picturing, like, Jack Lemmon helping Walter Matthau clean his bunghole for his date.
All right, I don't want to do it, but I'll clean your bunghole.
Clean my goddamn bunghole. You lost that bet.
All right, bend over.
It's the 90s. She's going to want to see my bunghole.
All right, stay still, okay? I'm going to be bleaching your bunghole.
All right. Take that, Hollywood legends.
Oh, absolutely. What an odd couple they were, cleaning each other's bungholes. Somebody's got to do it, man.
Clean my bunghole, motherfucker.
Oh, shit. He was in the original.
That's right. It's yeah. a little too early right. there.
What was that?
Taking a Pelham,
yes,
1-2-3.
Yes.
That's right.
Playing at Film Forum this summer. I'll be there.
Ooh.
You got to see that.
Great movie.
So
they get away with owning a caveman by saying that he's an Estonian foreign exchange student.
Sure. I mean, like, the idea is, to your point about, like, working parents, because they're like, he's like, man, does no one listen to what I say in this house anymore? Like,
oh, right.
I ran this by you months ago, and now you just have this other person in your house. By the way, there's mud all over your house, like dirty fucking is Cro-Magnon ass mud all over your house.
Yeah, it smells like this mud came from a prehistoric bunghole.
Exactly.
I'm not that old.
But also, like they have to come home to this. It's like, why are there fucking cave paintings all over the walls?
Yes.
Why is something on fire? Who the fuck is this guy? What's with that freshly cleaned bunghole? Like, none of these questions are answered, and they're duped by, don't you remember I told you that? The fucking oldest trick in the book?
Not happening. Not in my house. Your friend's sleeping in the street. I don't give a shit. And also, by the way, Pauly Shore does not live here. Like, you know, the dad is very polite. He's like, Stanley, why are you here again? It's more like, I've told, and you do that then. But then later, you pull Sean Astin aside. It's like, he is not coming over for dinner anymore.
Yep.
You need that part. You put your foot down.
I'm sick and fucking tired of Stoney. Don't you think I know where that nickname's coming from, son?
Exactly. And I can smell it.
But he's like, you know, oh, Stanley, can I presume that you're coming, you're staying for dinner or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, not in my house.
And they're doing this thing that it happens a lot in movies. It's clearly like KFC bucket of chicken, but we're putting it on a plate and throwing the bucket away.
Mm-hmm.
Because no fucking family just makes, like, clearly fast food fried chicken this way. But this is what we're eating. Oh, it's a movie pet peeve of mine.
They need to be resting on paper towels if you're making them at home. That's the way the authenticity.
Right. Exactly right. In this family, they all fucking hate each other, and these parents are workaholics. Where are you finding the time for this impeccable chicken?
Maybe they did cook it at home, and all the paper towels are gone because they're up his bunghole cleaning out.
The caveman with the paper towels up his ass.
Yeah.
There's also a totally useless little sister character in this movie.
Sure.
She just kind of like talks shit to Sean Astin a few times.
Then she disappears, right? Like she gets kidnapped or something.
Or maybe the caveman eats her. That's a deleted scene. Because also, don't pretend for a second like this thing wouldn't just fucking bite your throat out and that's the end of Stoney.
Or hit your dad with a rock or something. Like, I don't want this dangerous animal in my house. And the other thing, by the way, where do they get these tall clothes for? It's Sean Astin's house. The guy's like 4'3", and you got Brendan Fraser's like 6'2".
See, that's the thing is they needed like something like going to the mall. Like, that's where your montage is.
I mean, seriously, the movie's only...
Not going to the mall.
It's only 89 minutes. You could have a trip to the mall in that montage.
Seriously.
I'm not cleaning. Oh, I got to get my eyebrows waxed at the mall.
Oh, look, Jack Lemmon, a threading stand.
Let's
do it there.
Racially insensitive things to the people working at these things.
All right, I guess I'll get my ears pierced at Claire's.
There was a dumb bit of trivia on the Tribune, and like, who could even know if this is true? But it's so fucking stupid that it almost has to be.
I think I know what you're saying.
Because Steve mentioned the clothes.
Yep,
and it talks about like how the costume designer like had all these clothes for Brendan Fraser or for the Link character. They call him Link.
Yeah.
But then it was Brendan Fraser, and he's like 6'3 or some shit. So she had to like buy more clothes or like.
She had to make clothes.
But like, what the fuck?
Like, he's Andre the Giant.
Why?
I mean, 6'3 is not that irregular of a height.
Not. But regardless,
why?
Why? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Just wait till the person is cast, then get the costume.
That's a great idea.
Like, I also read on there that they were considering Pauly Shore for Link, and like, what world?
What? No. Because the only thing that Pauly Shore is good for is spouting nonsense, and if he's a caveman. That can't say anything but, like, you know.
It's not going to work.
What am I watching for?
I mean, this is the first of many times Brendan Fraser had to learn what a microwave is on film,
that's
right?
That's true. Microwaves, televisions.
This, George of the Jungle, Blast from the Past. The dude doesn't
Short
know
Short Circuit where he played the robot.
Short Circuit where he played the robot. Grumpier Old Man 3, what he played the caveman. He played Walter Matthau's bunghole.
That was the grumpiest old man.
It's talking to me now.
You cleaned it too good. It's got a mouth of its own.
my god.
Oh, filth. Just filth.
Oh my god. We might have to talk about those movies one day.
Those are good movies.
I enjoy, you know, they're bad, but they're good.
Yeah, I would watch those.
I barely remember that second one. The first one I'd seen a bunch. That was a real, we're fucking playing this on CBS in the afternoon.
Do you guys remember like My Fellow Americans?
Oh, My Fellow Americans is definitely an episode. I've seen that movie like 15 times.
Wilford Brimley's in that too.
That sure is.
Jack Lemmon and James Garner.
Oh, you're right.
No, because that's the thing. Is the Grumpy Old Man franchise really spawned a craze about old men bickering at each other on film.
And we did those Odd Couple movies. Didn't two of those Odd Couple movies.
Didn't they do a boat movie together?
Boat Cruise or something.
With Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau?
Yes,
maybe?
I believe that's the two of them. Maybe? Yeah, like I think it is. Like an Odd Couple, but not the Odd Couple.
Right.
Yes, they're on a ship, and I think Brent Spiner's the bad guy in whatever that movie is.
That sounds good to
God
me.
God damn, the 90s.
Ain't that guy a robot? I saw you play a robot one time. How was that? You know, I was in Hopscotch. The only people that remember Hopscotch are the people that work at the Criterion Collection, and good for them. The Criterion Collection's restoring my bunghole to former glory. See my bunghole in 4K HD.
You downloaded this episode. Like, oh, I like Pauly Shore movies. You didn't think of 8 minutes on fucking Walter Matthau's asshole.
And he doesn't deserve that.
No, of course not.
I mean,
he's
just
great.
Think of the stuff that thing passed through the years. It's a lot of sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, a lot of hamburger
sandwiches. Sausage.
So basically, the plan, which doesn't make any sense, which is I'm going to bring Link to school, and that's what's going to make me popular.
You can't tell people you have a caveman for popularity purposes.
No, or just like...
Or an Estonian.
And also, guess what doesn't make you more popular and or more attractive to girls? Hanging out with a more attractive person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser as this caveman is still handsome as fuck.
Of
early
course,
90s Brendan Fraser.
King of the school.
Immediately. They dress him kind of like that one guy from Animal House, the weird one. The one that doesn't have sideburns and has glasses.
You have to be more
the
specific.
Trench coat.
Oh, the guy who... He was a National Lampoon writer.
Yes.
And he like wasn't he's the one who leads the marching band into the wall.
Wasn't he like a big one? He's the guy that fell off a cliff in
Hawaii. I think that was him. Yeah. I can't remember his name, but they do kind of dress him like that. Because where is this trench coat coming from?
And why can't he have sideburns at all? Like they go way up with the sideburns. Yeah. There's nothing there.
Well, it's weird because then also it's like we're working towards dreads. I mean, I guess you could only get that hair so clean.
Sure.
It is a caveman.
I mean, you just have to buzz it and start over.
I mean, yeah, it's a bad haircut that they give him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but they're just high school kids.
It's sexy enough, man.
It's too sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you take that montage to the mall. Shopping spree. Yeah. We get a haircut. It's all there. Everything's at the mall.
And then with the mall, you get the, what about this hairstyle? He turns around.
Oh, yes.
What about this hairstyle? He turns around.
And then we
clap at the last one.
Correct me if I'm wrong. When they put on the
I can see that happening.
When they put on the clothes, it's like the first changing, and then you're done with the montage. Like, no, buddy. I'm sorry. I need to see a couple outfits.
Give me those options.
I want to see some frowny shaking heads for a while.
Right? Like, give me like the wrong looks. Give me like the now he's a rockabilly guy. Or something.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah? He's wearing a fucking Stray Cats t-shirt.
Ew.
Yeah, so they bring him to the school, and he does this really cool, like handstand into a flip off the balcony or whatever.
And first on-screen appearance of Rose McGowan happens at this point.
Oh, that's right. She's got, like, almost no lines in this movie, but she's there going,
yeah.
Which is, that's cool.
That's something.
I'll take some 1992 Rose McGowan. Why the hell not?
Then there's like these two rap guys that came off the set of Teen Witch for no reason.
Oh my God. Yeah. These people are terrible. And they're just doing some bad like freestyling. And Brendan Fraser's like dancing with them. And that's when you realize he's learned things.
Uh-huh.
Like now he's taking that knowledge from the television, bringing it and putting it into a real world scenario.
That's what I do every day.
That's what this show is, essentially.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, but this is like, he has to have superpowers for some reason. Like, yeah, he does this like
crazy. Why is he Spider-Man?
Exactly. Like, no, he would be too frail for this world.
Yeah, that's, by the way, muscle atrophy.
Oh,
let's talk about that for a second.
He would be Inuit of some kind, one shape or another. He would definitely not be a white guy because Anglo-Saxons weren't here yet.
Well, there's Neanderthals. adults.
Yeah, but they were. I mean, like they. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? They'd be something that wasn't anything.
He wouldn't be waspy Brendan Fraser, that's
and he
for
wouldn't
sure.
be 6'3". He'd be like 4'4". Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we're smaller
right,
back then.
Right.
Yeah, you should.
You know what? He'd be shot. You get Sean Astin as the caveman.
I was gonna say or Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh my God!
Yep.
Imagine Gilbert just walking around like yeah,
that's a movie I'll watch, man.
And that? Gilbert Gottfried as Link.
What was that caveman from cartoon days where it had like a loincloth and it was just all like fur and it had like a big bat?
Oh, a Captain Caveman.
Yeah.
From
Gilbert Gottfried is Captain Caveman.
I like it.
Was that a Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
It was. I believe it was off the Flintstones kids. I think that was what they... It was like the show within the show.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
I know way too much about Captain Caveman off the tip of my tongue. I don't know why. I watch a lot of Flintstone Kids.
You know what my most favorite Flintstones thing of all time
is? The chewable vitamins.
No, although, my God, I grew up with those. I'd probably be dead without those.
Yeah, you would.
But, no, that fucking, the famous commercial of... You know, Bon, Winston cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
God, those were the days.
Well, it's also like them being like horrifically misogynistic. Like the wives are doing the work and we're smoking cigarettes. We're
way to mow that lawn, baby. Winston cigarettes, Bon. The cigarette you want to smoke when the wives are doing the chores.
It makes me really relaxed. Yeah, that's
speaking of caveman, that was kind of nice.
It was, the Flintstones movie is a movie we got it. That's a stay tuned.
Oh, yeah, but Dabba, definitely.
That's actually, you know what? Everyone forgets that spawned the McRib. That's where it came from.
What?
It was a promotional.
No, it wasn't.
That's
not.
What it was.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's the patient zero of the
That's
McRib?
Exactly.
Wait a second, though. Is this the only time? Because we're talking.
Viva Las Vegas.
Well, Viva Rock Vegas, first of all.
Excuse me.
No, but like as far as promotional shit, we're talking, we've obviously seen collector's cups. We've seen hot sauces with Congo, the volcano sauce. But was this the first fully promotional meal?
I think it is.
I mean, that's a promotional sandwich, damn. My God.
And it was a success. Whoa. So successful, they had to bring it back all the time.
Oh, yeah, the McRib is back, and then McRib is gone, and then the McRib is back.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm totally wrong. Apparently, it was in the 1981, but I think they brought it back as, a, like, you know, for...
That is fake news. The McRib was real. The reporting on We Hate Movies was fake.
Okay, no. In the summer of 1994, McDonald's brought back the McRib nationally as a tie-in with the theatrical release of the Flintstones. And
because it had been laying dormant for years, much like a caveman.
There was one frozen patty somewhere that they found.
Let's cook this. Oh, yeah, we could sell that with that fucking... movie.
Man, you know, you get a McRib, you take a look at that thing, don't be surprised if you see a fucking Nike swoosh on it. What is that but sneaker material?
It is. It's just barbecue sauce on sneak. Sneaking in barbecue sauce.
So Robin Tunney likes him immediately.
Instant attraction.
And she's like the kind of, you know, she's a goer, as we'll say. And she's like,
what's that mean?
She likes to get down to fucking.
And she's like, meet me at Blades tonight. Blades, by the way.
The coolest place ever. They
it's
pull
an
up.
Ice skating rink where everyone hangs out.
And an arcade. It's like the biggest baby shit ever.
Exactly. you're graduating high school. You're not there at all.
And then Sean Astin's like, oh, we finally made it. We got the invite to Blades.
What do you mean you got the invite? It's a public business, Sean Astin. Show up.
Just go if you want to go to Blades. By the way, the cool kids are smoking in some fucking hammock somewhere getting handies. That's what's happening.
Exactly.
Whoa. I guess that is what's happening.
It's 1992. We're listening to fucking Stone Temple Pilots getting jerked off in somebody's garage.
Time to take a ride. But that's the thing. This is
this party's fantastic.
Oh no, Jack Lemmon, we're teenagers in the early 1990s.
Why did the two of that? See, that's what's never happened.
Oh,
a simultaneous body swap movie. They both go into the bodies of teenagers.
Yeah, but no, the way you do it is it's them playing teenagers, but every time they look at a mirror, it's a team.
Oh, of course, because and I mean, they look you're
at
going.
They look at the mirror all the time, so you could hear the voices.
Man, too bad they've both been dead for years.
They were great. This 1992, by the way, is it's very much like the we didn't know that what the 90s were going to be, so we were like, oh, it's just going to be the 80s again. Like, yeah. This whole movie is like essentially because it's like thrash metal all over the place and shit. Like, we're not so grunge-ish yet.
But there's also, and this is PCU's rotten with this too. Mm-hmm. There's all of, like, we were obsessed with this in the early 90s, and it petered out for the most part. The, like, it's like merging of metal and funk music.
Oh, yeah. We love to get funky with the chickens.
Yeah.
Wait, chickens are involved?
No, I don't know. You're a funky chicken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Come on, keep up. Funky
I'm
chicken.
I'm trying. Yeah.
But, like, that's all over this movie, including whatever the fuck this band is at the prom, which, like, if you look on, like, either Wikipedia or the Tribune, it's, like, a super group of all these people from all these other bands.
I didn't know there was a super group involved.
Yeah, no, it's, like, it's this singer from this.
And Tin Machine. It's got David Bowie, Roy Orbison, Tom
Oh, right, it was Tin Machine. That is a fun Wikipedia wormhole. You just Wikipedia the word supergroup, and it's a listing of every supergroup ever.
And annoyingly, the longest listing is for the Traveling Wilburys. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can keep that.
Wait, maybe that's what I was thinking of. That's what Roy Orbison was in.
Yeah,
it was Roy Orbison,
Tom Petty, George Harrison.
Right, and then Tin Machine was a Bowie one. But, yeah, no, Traveling Wilburys, they had two songs.
Which one's Crucial Tongue? Because it's got Cassandra, Cassandra's drummer. Oh. Who's Anthony, I believe.
Who's Anthony? Who's Anthony? Who's Anthony?
My drummer.
This is a fake band.
Oh, actually, right. Okay, so right here. So this is live from the Tribune.
Uh-huh.
The band playing at the prom is funk metal supergroup.
Oh, fuck.
Get ready. Infectious Grooves.
Ooh.
Featuring Mike Muir of the thrash punk band Suicidal Tendencies.
Okay.
With vocals of Dean Pleasance on guitar. Mike Muir's doing vocals. Dean Pleasance on guitar. Adam Siegel of Excel on lead guitar.
Lars Ulrich.
Stephen Perkins of Jane's Addiction on drums. And Robert Trujillo of Suicidal Tendencies, who currently plays bass with Metallica.
Oh.
And now Dean Pleasance, is that Donald Pleasance's son?
Yep.
Not spelled the same.
Oh.
Like,
damn it, Dean, that band's not going anywhere. Hey, get your ass off that stage.
Oh, put that fucking guitar down. You'll never be featured in Encino Man.
It's the supergroup, Dad. You wouldn't understand it.
Get your ass away from Infectious Grooves. Dean. You're my son, Dean.
I don't know. So at Blades, Michael DeLuise starts beating up.
Also, because we're playing hockey, by the way.
We are playing hockey. Anyone see that his number two of the bullies is from Swingers there? Sue from Swingers.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. Get out of town. Yeah. That's a movie you can't possibly be forced to care about anymore.
Swears?
I like that movie.
I think it doesn't age well
yeah.
because of the like the swing culture, the swing yeah. music culture revival of the time. But
it's
I
just
think it's
like
fine.
You listen to them talking now,
yeah,
and you're like
a little embarrassing. Yeah,
good.
Well, but
it was just of that era where everyone had to be Tarantino snappy.
Yeah,
snappy. Bah.
I wanted it's my dream, and I'm too old for it now. Is to be a bully's number two in a movie. That's just always
sure.
That's right. The coolest role to get.
I always saw Billy Zane with those 3D glasses in Back to the Future.
Billy Zane did not wear the 3D glasses.
Who the fuck was that guy?
That was a dude named Casey. Something.
Oh, come on. You know that guy's name.
I want to be Casey.
No, but that's the
coming you just, in at number five, my knuckle sandwich.
Exactly. All you do is stand back and like hit your fist with your hand
yeah.
and like shake your head. Like, yeah.
Right, yeah.
You never go to prom, nerdlinger, or whatever else you say.
The easy way.
Yeah, Billy Zane is the one who says the easy way
right.
in Back to the Future 2. His
You're
character
right,
was
taller.
Match.
What a fucking
Casey
idiot I am.
Simasco is the dude who plays 3D.
Okay, what's he up to? Is he dead? Click on that thing. Is
Casey
he
Simasco? Let's find out.
See, people listening don't give a fuck about anything. They want to know if this guy's
3D,
dead.
No, 3D is alive and well. He was
what's
just featured on an episode of Billions last year.
Wow, he's
good
doing pretty
him.
Good.
Good for
13
him.
Episodes on Damages as Detective Whoa. Dan Williams.
Oh, wow.
He must be doing better than the guy from...
Billy Zane, yep.
By the way, in 2013, TV movie called Killing Kennedy played Jack Ruby.
Oh,
that's
a
where
Bill O'Reilly movie.
I oh, think. Fucking Pinhead the motion picture. Yeah. Fuck
yeah,
that guy.
My favorite number two bully of all time is the kid from Karate Kid. The guy that's
William
hanging out
Zabka?
With, no, the kid who's hanging out with William Zabka. Who's just like, yeah, kick, sweep the leg. Oh, man. Link is not adept at fighting, which is surprising to everybody for some reason. So they our second montage is either a cover or a remix of Mama Said Knock You Out.
It is a cover and a half.
Okay.
Because that is not LL Cool J singing these words.
And like we're watching a bunch of like Sean Astin's wrestling tapes. Yeah, I do wonder how you don't have a fucking date for the prom.
Am I misremembering from something I watched last night with a bunch of tall glasses of water? Are they also putting on some kung fu movies?
They are, yes.
Okay.
And then like he breaks the board over Sean Astin's head.
Oh, right.
We're having a lot of fun in this scene.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fun as fuck, dude.
And then like, but like Link like is enrolled in school so much so that like the teacher is calling his name on a roll call. And I'm like, how did that happen?
He's got a permanent record in this movie.
You could fake anything back then.
That's true.
It's fucking June, though. You can't just
that's
be
true.
Like,
that makes
here's
no
this
sense.
Estonian foreign exchange student.
He's
what are you talking
five
about?
5 days.
Yeah, what? What? Figure this shit out better, people who wrote Encino Man. Come on.
There's a cameo from the kid who played Data in The Goonies, who also played...
Oh, yeah, Short Round.
Short Round,
yes,
of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A rare teen appearance for him.
Mm.
He was more just of a child
a kid
actor.
Yeah. So this is the driving scene.
Because it's again, it's June. What are you doing? You either finish driver's ed or it's not happening
exactly.
Right now.
You're gonna learn how to drive in your dad's garage. That's how that works. There was a third montage almost right after that with Wooly Bully. That's kind of him acclimating and kind of ruling the school.
Yeah, and dude, let me tell you, Wooly Bully is one of the worst songs ever
mm-hmm,
written.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Chipmunk cover or yep, no?
They loved that shit back then. I remember that Chipmunk cover like it was Vietnam.
What?
It was dark, and I watched it at night, and it was scary. It was in some movie that the Chipmunks did, right?
Yeah,
it was the movie.
Chipmunk Adventure.
Fuck that movie.
That movie's kind of weird.
I've seen that movie a ton.
Yeah.
A ton.
Oh, I remember it scarred me.
That Mama Said Knock You Out cover, definitely performed by a band called Scatterbrain.
Oh, nice.
Oh, sick. Shit.
Sick.
Hey, that's sick.
Yeah, Bad Brain said no.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did.
So there's like some weirdness with the driver's ed. We wind up going to like...
They do the two-wheel thing. We gotta mention the two-wheel thing before someone tweets.
Yes,
they go up in the car, two wheels. Link is a crazy good stunt driver because he's got no impulse.
What's awesome, and it's kind of one of my favorite parts of the movie, is when we're doing... It's like a head-on shot of the car turned on the two wheels. You can see the look on this stunt driver's face.
Oh, really?
And it's totally like, oh my god, I think I'm losing it. Like this dude is shitting. He's shitting his pants doing this car stunt. It's kind of great.
That's great. I love that.
You think this is a stuntman Mike movie?
He's eating his sloppy nachos. He's like, yeah. It's a little known film called Encino Man.
Yeah, I think Brendan Fraser's a caveman or something. Yeah, I was a guy. A
couple episodes of The Rifleman, you would know it, or Encino Man.
That's probably...
Speaking of Rose McGowan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's probably like the best thing Kurt Russell's done in a long time.
Yes, I actually love that movie. A lot of people dislike it, but I think it's great.
Guardians of the Galaxy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess that's true. Yeah, I kind of forgot that already.
And Hateful Eight, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as far as like him working with QT,
yeah.
Death Proof is a better performance than Hateful Eight.
Sure, it's more of his. That's and
because we did mention it, but this whole fucking disgusting bathtub picture thing happens at that ice rink.
Bathtub? Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've been naked together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He pulls this out.
At Blades. At you Blades, finally make
dude,
it to Blades.
Are you fucking kidding me? You're pulling that shit at Blades?
Yeah. It's fucked up.
It is fucked up. That
Blades is a 100% zero nudity picture zone. Yeah. Maybe or
well,
otherwise.
Well, maybe the older variety.
Well, you know what would be awesome? How is there not a character played by like... I don't know, not this, but like a Matthew McConaughey type, sort of okay. Like, well, I guess more like a Wooderson type
sure.
Guy who's like Frank Blades and he runs the Blades ice rink and arcade.
I would love that.
You
let's,
need a
let's
character.
Let's see a little
right?
More of this
played
culture.
By Ruben Blades.
Oh. my God, if it was just Reuben Blades' style. That's yeah. Reuben Blades. If you know, he might retire eventually.
Yeah.
Whenever he does, just open an ice rink, man. I mean, I guess that's probably... We're not so crazy with the ice rinks anymore, but maybe.
Oh, it's coming back.
Yeah, kids are playing hockey still.
It'll come back.
We wind up after the driver's ed thing at this like East LA kind of place where it's basically a bunch of Latino people. Mm-hmm. And we're doing that 80s like fucking weird science thing. Like, we're at the, you know.
Right. Like, it's when Anthony Michael Hall takes him to that like blues club.
Yes.
And Anthony Michael Hall's doing like a super racist voice. Like, at least that doesn't happen in this. But also, that same thing happens in that movie Adventures in Babysitting. We go to like a quote black club.
Yes.
But so this, we're replacing it because, you know, I guess we're in LA. So it's like, let's go to this like this Latin bar. And it's like Pauly Shore is like peer pressured into drinking. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Stoney would not have a problem putting them back.
No, yeah, exactly. Well, his name is Stoney, of course. That's what he's doing all day. He's fucking huffing paint.
He's fucked up all the time.
Yes, exactly. The entire time of this movie, he is fucked up.
He huffs paint until it's dry, and then he eats the chips.
But it's kind of fucked up.
Grinding some paint chip.
Oh, yeah, dude. Totally. Munching on the paint chip grindage. Killing my brain cells, buddy.
Painting the house, buddy.
I'm going to paint your Dorito dust, brother. The weasel sucking up the fumes.
Got the paint shits.
Oh, man, those paint shits.
Hey, where's your mom's house cleaner? Let's clean a caveman, but save some for the weasel.
Somehow they like not only like do that crazy driving course thing, but then they just steal the car and drive it to a bar.
Yeah, and they're just drinking in the daytime.
But then this is a weird thing where like,
oh, he steals a woman at one point.
Well, Brendan Fraser, there's this whole thing where this dude, you know, he's like maybe a gang guy, who knows what's going on. They don't name drop the Latin Kings.
Yeah,
but you know,
we know what's going on.
For fun, let's just assume that that's what's happening.
They're dressed very stereotypically,
and he's like, "Oh, like you see that lady over there, Holmes? That's my girl. Like if anyone went up to her, I'd have to fucking cut their throat or whatever." And like Sean Astin and Pauly Shore are like, "Oh, don't worry about it. Of course, that caveman comes sniffing around.
he kidnaps her."
Uh huh.
And nothing really comes of it. You don't even see what happens or where he dumps the body.
Doesn't he just take her to the dance floor?
Yeah, they dance a little bit.
Yeah, they dance the night away.
Oh, I guess I looked away from the TV for about 15 minutes. I just assumed she was murdered. I think it was a Black Dahlia or something.
Oh, shit, Holmes. They found her cut in half in a field.
In an old haunted hotel.
I did it. Try and fucking prove it. I dare you.
Dude, that's the movie. He's a fucking ghost from like the 50s that gets into a teenager's body.
I love it. I love this movie.
Right?
How come Frank became so casually racist all of a sudden? But then, so there's this weird thing where like, and we're doing like some serious day drinking. This has to be total tops 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Absolutely, because we skipped school.
Right. And so there's like a fucking ice raid on this bar.
Yeah, they're like Immigracion. I'm like, okay, movie.
Yeah, whatever. At first I thought
by the way, when you texted last night that you didn't understand, like, this movie doesn't understand ice.
Yeah.
Like, you were talking about this scene. Oh.
No, because like that's when they're shocked that he melted.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it.
So they all just start like fleeing from this bar, and it's this crazy thing. And somewhere along the way, Megan Ward's character winds up falling for
Link
in this whole scene. I guess because he's like heroic and gets them out or whatever.
Sure.
But it's also a weird thing where like Sean Astin thinks that they're like getting along and bonding and whatnot. So him and Pauly Shore get arrested.
No, Sean Astin and Link
get arrested. Link get arrested.
And like he uses his one phone call to call Megan Ward. He's like, I'm using my one phone. I got arrested. I'm using my one phone call on you to ask you to prom.
Fucking loser.
And he goes, and she goes like, yeah, no, but I'm going to take Link instead.
It's Could you so ask awesome.
Him? Oh my God.
Oh dude, this guy Sean got Astin cucked. He got cucked.
Well, I don't know about that, but he should kill himself.
But dude, I mean, Sean Astin, come on, man. You have one great time at a Latin Kings bar with this chick, and you think she's going to go to prom just because you used her as your fucking phone call?
By the way, he needs to move on. The way that he just lays it on to her is just, it's unfair for everyone. It's unfair to himself.
Go see what Rose McGowan's up to. Maybe she'd be into it.
Exactly.
Maybe she'd appreciate a line in this movie.
Mm-hmm. More than one.
But then, like, the whole jail thing is just totally dropped. There's no, like, parents showing up to bail them out.
Because the whole family is gone in this movie.
Yeah, it's really weird. They're just magically out of jail. Cut to Sean Astin driving him to the town line like a dog he doesn't want.
It's such a weird scene.
It's so weird.
And Pauly Shore, like, follows up with him, and he's like, hey, man, what are you doing? And he's like, you know, he'll be better off with somebody else. And they get in this fight, and my favorite line in this entire movie is Sean Astin.
Oh, I wrote it down, too.
It's really dramatic. He's like, all you care about is nugs, chillin', and grindage.
Yeah. Those sound like three great things.
They sound like
it's kind of all I care about.
And then at some point, like, basically, my other favorite line is Pauly Shore is like, those are the desperate words of a loser.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He really hits him below the belt.
But Pauly Shore is telling Sean Astin something that is, one, truthful, and two, something that Sean Astin has yet to realize. What Sean Astin throws at Pauly Shore, Pauly Shore knows that he loves smoking weed, eating, and hanging out.
Yeah, that's it. What?
That's not an insult. That is the thesis of Stoney. What are you doing?
That's what I do. And my hair is brown. Thanks. Yeah,
all you care about is wearing mesh shirts and driving a rascal scooter.
Yep.
And he's like, no shit, buddy. That's me. Why can't we just specify, by the way, that nugs are weed? Like, if we're saying nugs,
yeah.
Someone has to be... Yeah. How fucking hilarious would it be if a caveman got high?
That's...
Come on!
I think that's sort of what we're doing in that convenience store scene with the...
But I feel
with
like...
Elektra's dad and some other guy.
Yes.
And the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yes. Is that him?
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's... It's some
the
fucking...
The guy that didn't go to jail for murder.
Right.
Or for attempted murder.
Oh, right. One of them went up the river.
He did, yeah.
But it's that weird thing where, like, you've got these dudes who they're putting on, especially the dude from Electro is putting on a hardcore Apu Nahasapima Petalon voice.
Sure.
Saying Wheezing the Juice.
Sure.
And they're, like, drinking out of his, like, slurping machine. And he's like, stop wheezing the juice. And you're like,
Why are we allowing anyone, why we ever thought it was a good idea to allow customers to come into a store and use a microwave? What a gross idea. Go home. Yeah.
That's terrible.
They still do it.
Do they? Is that
That is alive and well.
Yeah. So I can just go into some place and use a microwave. It's like using a bathroom. It's worse than using a bathroom.
It's absolutely worse than using a bathroom.
No,
because,
wait, what?
Because here's why. Here's why. I'll tell you right now. Because you could use that bathroom. Mm-hmm. You fucking take a dump in that 7-Eleven bathroom and flush the toilet, and that's one thing.
Yeah, but you're not taking the turd and putting it in the microwave.
But you could. You totally could, dude. Who knows who's... And that is my point entirely, Eric. Who is sticking what in that public microwave?
Well, consider these fast food restaurants. They just use public microwaves, too. And like these, and those people are probably more disgruntled than your average, trucker.
I love that we don't have public health care, but we still have public microwaves in this fucking country.
Yeah, no, we'll never have public health care. We'll never have anything.
But we'll always have, but no private mic. We'll still always have public microwaves.
And just imagine, because think how fucking stupid people are, right? Like, thank God Pauly Shore and a caveman know to take the burrito out of the wrapper.
Sure.
But guaranteed some motherfuckers put in a fucking plastic wrapper. Like, and then the whole microwave smells like plastic. Mm-hmm. And you know the dude at the convenience store is not cleaning it.
Of course.
So then you go to use it, and then your shit tastes like plastic.
Man, fucking shop at your own risk.
Or just like microwave at home.
Go home and microwave. Use your own microwave.
That's why.
I'm not for public microwaves.
Okay.
I am just... I'm not going to defend the people that use... Like, if you use it, that's on you, buddy. That's all I'm saying.
But that's why...
Senator Shishka, thank you so much for coming in. Just curious about your thoughts on public microwaves. We have a statement from a podcast. You say you're for public microwaves, but...
Grenade!
I was for it before I was against it.
It's just gross. And that's why, if you need to get... a heated up piece of food at a 7-Eleven, man. Yeah. It's those Rolly heater things that are behind, like a hot dog, sausage, a delicious 7-Eleven taquito.
Oh, man.
Buffalo chicken, you better believe it.
I you know, you just got to stop eating taquitos at a certain point. It's tough. Mm-hmm. You need to make a rule at the beginning of the year, I will not consume a taquito.
I think like 25 is the cutoff.
Yes. Or at least like substituting a meal for taquitos.
Yeah, you can't. It's not a snack. It's not just a hangout walk-in snack.
Because then you're just, you look like you're holding a thing full of cigars. But it's
what
just
a fancy guy.
Oh, wait, is that a cigar? Oh, no, is that a cigar? No, that's a gross.
It was $3 for $2 taquitos at 7-Eleven.
Oh, I know that.
Been there.
Been puffing the 7-Eleven.
So it's prom now. Link is going to go with Megan Ward. Michael DeLuise is really upset because he's been cut out of the whole thing. And he's like, I can't believe it. And she's like, you're a jerk because you're a bully. And he's like, yeah, whatever. So he sneaks into Sean Astin's house and finds all these pictures behind a framed picture of his girlfriend, by the way.
Yep.
If you're trying to out this guy as a weirdo and a creep, that's what you bring, not the caveman pictures. They'd be like, yo, he's got her fucking prom picture, fucking, you know, her yearbook picture from last year framed in his house.
And the glasses stained on the frame.
Shoosh. Remember that one?
That's shoosh. Yeah. Totally.
Shoosh, that's his catchphrase.
Oh, who's?
The bully.
Michael DeLuise.
Oh, wow. Right.
Shoosh.
Oh, right.
Because a wowman was talking over
right.
him.
Right, I thought, he was telling someone to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's telling her to fucking shoosh up.
He's got photographic evidence that, whoops, he's a caveman, and he's going to do the whole thing, right? And Sean Astin and Pauly Shore decide not to go to prom, and then like Megan Ward like kind of feels bad. She's like, no, I'll go together, it'll be fun.
Then he's like, oh, I can't because I'm grounded, what with getting arrested yesterday.
I supposed to have to finish my dirt pool,
dude. They should just be smoking a ton of pot by this alongside this dirt pool, just like fucking go for broke.
Well, what you do
gravity
see,
bomb, that's what we're needing.
Oh, yes. That would be great.
Oh, right, yeah.
What you get though is there's definitely a fucking keg by this dirt pool, and it's just Sean Astin and Pauly Shore fucking wheezing the juice out of this keg.
Oh, that's
alone.
Cool. Yeah, that's not sad at all.
But this is so it doesn't make any sense though. He's grounded because he got arrested because he was fucking in that Latin Kings bar. But the parents are cool with the pool being filled, with a hole being filled. Let's stop calling it a pool. It's a hole.
The hole is filled with water.
They somehow got a keg into the backyard, and there are lamp decorations all over this place.
Cut to like 1970-something, I guess, Illinois. Hey, Gacy, you putting in a pool?
yeah. Putting in a big pool for prom. Oh, yeah. Prom party. I'm going as a clown. Gonna do my act at the prom party.
Gacy, pool's looking good.
Gacy, that's American work ethic there. Build your own pool. Don't leave it up to the Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Building a pool. Yep.
No, and the next day, the pool was gone. It's all filled in.
Gacy gave up on the pool.
Hey, is that a young drifter helping you with the pool filling?
Oh, yeah. Up until last night, then he drifted along.
Man, the things they did to those people.
Mm-hmm. So, but yes, at the prom, Sean Astin realized, like, oh no, he stole the caveman pictures, and I guess he'll get. I don't even know what the penalty could be for being a caveman.
Yeah.
Well,
meanwhile,
but also
Michael DeLuise did a fucking B&E, man.
Yes.
Going up, you fucking sent him to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what the fuck did he think was going to happen? Like, either it's nobody believes you because cavemen are long gone, or the reaction, which is what happens in the movie, which is woohoo,
yeah,
cool. Yeah, he's a caveman.
This is at prom when, like, they're crowning Link and
Megan Ward as prom king and queen.
Exactly, and
Zeta himself is doing it. Short Round himself is doing it.
Oh,
that's right.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, and
pretty cool.
That's where the shoosh happens, and
then
it turns out Michael DeLuise is the loser.
Yeah, well, he then calls somebody a gay slur, and I guess Link understands gay slurs and doesn't appreciate them because he starts going ape shit on this dude. Yeah.
That's why this is more than Bill and Ted, because at least in this movie, the villain says the gay slur and is immediately gets his comeuppance
from someone who's from caveman times that's more progressive than he is.
Exactly.
Most people find that offensive. You know, those Bill and Ted kind of assholes. They shouldn't be saying that just casually.
They shouldn't.
What makes the least sense in this scene, though, and we're talking a movie where a dude just revealed someone to be a caveman providing photographic evidence.
And everyone went, woohoo.
Yeah. After the woohoo, after the beating with the gay slur, Link throws him off the stage where Michael DeLuise lands in a prom cake?
Yeah, I don't know where this prom cake...
Prom cake?
I mean, it's the same... I guess it's the same part of California wherever fucking Shia LaBeouf's frat party is, right?
Oh, right, with the frat cake. That's right.
Now we got prom cake. Bullshit.
It's like a 6-foot sheet cake that this dude face plants in.
California loves cake. That's why they have those beds, California cakes.
Hey, Jack Lemmon, looks like our classmate was a caveman all along.
Woohoo!
I'm talking about you.
So then...
How often do you have to clean your bunghole? We did it 2 weeks ago. Am I good for a while?
How long does this bleach last, Lemon? Gotta pay you to do it all over again.
Now let me check my watch. Yeah, right. 5 o'clock?
And then... Because, you know, after all this, what caveman comedy wouldn't end without choreographed dancing?
Sure. And, like, the band is, like, totally into it. They're a super group, so they have this caveman song.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all, like, caveman dancing.
And it's, like, first it's Brendan Fraser, and everyone's kind of cool. And then, like, Pauly Shore gets into it. Then Sean Astin gets into it. And, of course, he's the worst because he's Sean Astin. Mm-hmm. But then the surprising part is the whole gymnasium gets in on it.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yep.
That's a strange thing.
And then Rutger Hauer comes in dressed as Dracula's like, is this Buffy the Vampire Slayer the movie? Or is that like down the hall? Because it's the same kind of thing.
And then you cut to the pool party, the whole party.
And everyone's there and jumping in this disgusting Gacy pool that we have.
Man, Sean Astin's whole party, by the way. Oof. You'll catch that on New Year's Eve on LA Public Access.
By the way, you jump in that thing, you definitely got to clean your bunghole.
Oh, man, you swim in this fucking hole, dude, you're getting worms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somehow you're getting worms.
But there are more earthquakes, which is kind of the stinger. It's kind of a stinger scene almost.
It's a stinger scene, and it's after Sean Astin somehow is allowed to kiss this girl.
Sure. And she's like, you know what, dude? Like, I'll kiss this one. I'll give this guy a thrill on prom night. I'll give him like a closed mouth kiss.
Yep.
And then I'm going to fucking PCU. And I'm, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Then I'm working for the rest of the summer until I go to PCU.
Gonna
That's
ice
exactly
this
right.
kid for the rest of the summer. Speaking of cavemen.
So then it's like, yeah, there's an earthquake. And then Pauly Shore and Link hear the smoke alarm going off. To which there's another choreographed, we're simultaneously screaming at each other comically.
There's painted breasts against the wall.
Ooh. Yep, you better believe it, dude. You got to get those cave lady knockers on there.
Right.
I think those are nugs. Are those nugs?
Wait, what?
I thought
I think they call them bazingas or something.
Oh, Gonzagas.
Gonzagas, yeah.
Isn't that a basketball team?
It's a college.
Yeah.
It has a basketball team.
Gonzaga University?
Yeah.
Gonzaga.
Are you fucking shitting me right now?
No. They're a big deal school.
No, they're not.
Yeah, dude, they're always in the fucking NCAA.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you got something going for you.
But so good from Gonzaga's like, yay!
And then we burst into the bathroom, and there's this cave lady already cleaning her own bunghole. She's in this bathtub.
Why
would she think to do that? And I think I saw in the end credits, I might be wrong, that two different women played her. Like, one plays her in the bathtub and one plays her after.
Oh, really? That doesn't make any sense.
Or was it the same cave lady from the beginning of the movie?
Well, no, it's supposed to be because that's his girlfriend. Like,
right, so is it one at the beginning and one at the end?
Who knows, man?
Because and the idea is, like, in the middle of the movie, he, like, realizes she's dead and he's really sad. And
right.
When they take a field trip, again, in June,
Oh, right. They take a field trip to a museum and it's like, you know, the evolution of man and he's fucking crying in this museum. That's kind of funny.
But yeah, so then they give her a makeover. They dye her hair somehow.
It's also, all in like 10 minutes because this party's still raging downstairs.
Is it cool if I clean her bunghole, buddy? Yeah, it's a bit.
Isn't it a bit. Sean Astin get a kiss at some point?
We mentioned that, dude.
Oh, shit.
Lay off the pipe, man.
No. But that makes no sense, though, right?
No,
I'm
not,
I'm not trying to backtrack it.
No. But yeah, that's what we said. It's like a pity kiss. And then she's going to ice him for the rest of the summer.
Right. That's pathetic.
But then
it's humiliating.
Did anybody notice this, by the way? We definitely have, I mean, this is unconfirmed. Pauly Shore, there's like a close up here, like because he has like the final line of the movie, but there's like a close up on him in this doorway. Kind of looks like he's got a little like runny Coke nose going on.
Oh, is it Neil Diamond at the end of The Last Waltz?
Neil Young.
Neil Young, sorry.
Yeah, that they
know. Listen, I bet the two Neils were both coking up.
Well, probably.
You get two Neils together.
But they definitely, you read Neil, up on that, baby. They animated it out as best as possible in The Last Waltz because he's just got a fucking Coke drip going on. But it kind of looks like Pauly Shore's got a Neil Young thing happening.
That wouldn't surprise me one bit.
But yeah, and then he just does the fucking I'll be Bach.
Where did we get the sexy teenage girl clothes? Because the sister is like fucking nine.
That's right.
And like there's like these like cut off shorts and a thing, and I'm like,
Pauly Shore?
Is that the mom? Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
He is wearing that pink mesh shirt through most of the movie.
Yeah, man.
Or maybe it's the mom.
The mom. You know, they probably modified the mom's clothes.
Yeah, like you cut those mom jeans, maybe was the idea.
You did some mom mods.
Mom mod, dude. Yeah.
Mom mods, man. .com.
Well, I don't want to go there. How do you spell mommod.com?
Jack, look at this. It's a box that lets you jerk off to things.
It's a what?
Oh, boy.
Oh, you gorilla, you're going to jerk off all over that computer.
It's not Don Rickles.
Oh, man, Don Rickles could be in that movie, too.
Yeah, that'd Duty Principal. Yeah, I mean, they're all dead, but they're all great.
Yeah.
Right, and like maybe like Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau are called into Don Rickles' principal's office, and like they can speak old man, so it's like, all right, you boys are on the level.
Well, you made fun of the Chinese for 5 minutes. You're clear.
This movie grossed over $40 million.
Which is like a huge hit.
That's wild.
Yeah, back then, big time.
And this, every other Pauly Shore movie grossed less money every time.
Well, that's a shock.
Yeah.
You did the research?
Yeah, it's on Wikipedia. It's like, it's like 40 and then like whatever. Son-in-law was like 30 and then it's like 20. Yeah,
well,
12,
we're getting tired of the weasel as the 90s went on.
Biodome was like $15 million.
Ooh,
buddy.
What did Pauly Shore is Dead rake in? Remember that movie?
No one does.
Yeah, exactly right.
The mockumentary. People loved that in 2005.
Oh, it was huge, man. It was totally huge. There's also a movie that came out in 1999. This is a bunch of bullshit. I haven't seen it. It's a TV movie about Hugh Hefner. In where Pauly Shore plays Lenny Bruce.
Yeah.
Just imagine what that could possibly be.
I want to see this. Ooh. I really want to see this.
My skin's crawling. Speaking of TV movies, there's a TV movie sequel to this movie.
Oh, that's right, Encino Woman.
Yes, about the cave woman at the end of the movie.
Are you fucking kidding?
I'm not kidding. I mean,
is it the same cave woman though?
I mean, I think it's supposed to be, maybe.
Or is it just like we remade the first movie, but it's a girl?
Oh, that's a good
question.
Anyone
else in it? Like Pauly Shore?
No one came back.
Oh, then who fuck cares, man?
I guess that was my question: is whether or not it's canon. Is the idea?
No, it's not canon.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's it. Would anybody recommend this movie?
Yeah, it's kind of a hard recommend for me. It's stupid. It's silly. It's kind of fun. I don't know. I got a soft spot for 1992. Yes.
Sure.
I didn't really like revisiting it that much, but I would kind of like recommend it. And I do recommend Son-in-Law, for example.
Oh, of course. You have to recommend Son-in-Law. Yeah, I would recommend this movie. I mean, it's kind of whatever to me, but it does make a good hangover comedy.
Oh, for sure.
And it's kind of like if you're lightly hungover, because like at 89 minutes, you pop those commercials on. You're talking like a solid 2 hours and 15 minutes on a TV broadcast.
No one's going to play Encino Man on television in the year 2017.
I guess that's true. So if you rent this on Amazon.
Yes.
just pause it every once in a while and drag it out.
Well, you throw up.
That's Encino Man, directed by the great Les Mayfield. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast and right into that mailbag. We all hate movies at gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you download or stream us. We would greatly appreciate it. Speaking of streaming, let's just get this on the air because we're seeing it a lot like online and whatnot. Just to clear it all up, we switched distribution platforms, which means we are no longer on Spotify. So sorry for those couple hundred people that used that to listen to us. Unfortunately, we're not on there anymore. That's not going to update. Apologies in advance, but you can get us a shit ton of places, man. So
also,
it is what it is.
We had previously done We Hate Movies app years and years ago.
Through Libsyn, 100 years ago.
100 years ago, caveman times. And that's no longer updating either, but thank you for supporting the show all
sure.
those years ago.
Yeah. Speaking of supporting the show, patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
That updates
on everything. It has its own custom RSS feed, so you can punch that in and get shows like The Nexus and Animation Damnation. Mm-hmm. And I think it will be out by the... This definitely will be out by the time this airs. But, of course, the brand new Twilight commentary, Twilight Mentary, is on there.
That's a good one.
So check that out, of course. And next week on the show, one last Transformers movie.
Oh, thank goodness.
The Last Night.
Honestly, this movie was such a relief to watch because it wasn't 2.5 hours
That's
long.
True.
Yep.
That's
and
totally. It wasn't about robots like fucking each other or whatever else is going on. It's about cavemen fucking each other.
Yeah.
So that's why I was so relieved. And actually, we're not watching another Transformers movie for like 3 more weeks. I feel really relieved right now.
It's so awesome.
But by the time
next week there will be that.
Yes.
We're just recording this in advance.
By the time you will have heard this, the next week you will hear our take on The Last Night, a full episode.
There it is, a full episode.
Oh my God, guys, what if it's a really good movie?
Oh, boy.
We might be in trouble if it's a really, really good movie.
Yeah, it's just a fucking Holocaust drama.
You know what? If this movie turns out to be awesome, we'll do an episode on The Room next week.
Okay. Oh, wow. Doubling down.
So until next week, where we definitely do Transformers The Last Night, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy, buddies.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.